Good morning.
Hi, this is Brenda. Who's calling?
Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Rebecca S., yes.
Is this your first time, or?
No, I just haven't been on for a while, but no, I've been on a couple weeks ago.
Oh, good morning, Rebecca. Hello, who's joined us?
Good morning, this is Lee.
Hi, Lee. Anybody else join us? How are you, Lee?
Well, I got one more day of babysitting dogs, so I will be good after Thursday, because I've got four dogs in the house.
Good morning. Anybody else join us? I was learning about my dog yesterday at the breeder. She was teaching me how to keep her from jumping all over me. So dogs are busy.
What kind is that?
A Malinois Belgian Shepherd.
Oh, they're big dogs. Yeah, I've got little ones. I've got two little Bichons, and then I'm babysitting two little poodles.
I heard that making dogs vegetarians isn't real good for them. But, man, does she like her vegetables.
Oh, my. Are you doing that? Are you making yours a vegetarian?
No, because the veterinarian said, no, they're not supposed to be. They're canines. They're not supposed to be vegetarians. But
That's interesting, because mine said give a mixture of everything.
Yeah.
And I really...
Give them everything.
I've had two opinions on giving dry food, too.
Oh, really?
You know, that's really the best for them, nothing else. And so I give a little fifth of a can of canned food and then mix vitamins and everything in it. And then they get kibble that they can nibble on all day. And it's amazing. My daughter has two golden retrievers, and my sister-in-law is taking care of those. And she said... She couldn't believe it because they're 8-year-olds or something. And she said, how can their teeth be so clean? And she asked my daughter where she took her, you know, to have them cleaned. And she said, they haven't been, but they've been on dry kibble their whole life. And that's interesting because
I was noticing it takes her longer to chew up a piece of apple or a piece of carrot or a piece of cucumber than it takes her to chew up a hard doggy bone. So I guess all that fiber and everything that we're getting in these vegetables is...
It's good for us.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I haven't heard anybody else join us.
I've heard beeps. So who else has joined us? Good morning. Anybody want to say who you are?
Hi, Nancy. This is Dottie.
Dottie? Good morning, Dottie.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm
going to be in and out. That's why I didn't recognize myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kind of like trying to return a pair of karate shoes that are way too big. And I hate ordering on the Internet. So, anyways. Free shipping, and you have to pay for shipping to send it back because it's the wrong size. So, I don't know.
Karate shoes are special shoes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't just wear any sneaker or anything like that. Yep.
How are they different? I'm curious because with the Z that I do, they teach you to choose different types of shoes. How are the karate shoes different?
Well, they need to be able to, to turn without gripping the floor, you know, so because you are doing kicks and different, you know, so the shoe has to basically slide, and it has to have some kind of good support in the heel part because you're doing some jump kicks and things, so it needs that. So it needs a stability, and it also needs a smoothness on the bottom. They can't have anything that grips. Otherwise, you'll end up ruining your knee.
I have our, excuse me, I have our moon boots and I have the black cardiostrides and I haven't bought the new white ones. But what was so neat was I was down yesterday and they actually have the mag strides in the white ones. All, they have them all the sizes to try on, but it was the first time that they've had the mag strides in all of them. They had them in every pair underneath the insole. I thought that was really rather neat.
Wow.
So they really need to do that and go to, you know, go to the trouble of cutting them and all, because that's the first time they've done it.
Huh. Maybe because they're so popular. So, I mean,
the white ones, they fit out, well, for me, with fibromyalgia, the moon boots bothered me, and the black ones hit me in a wrong place, and the white ones seem to feel better, but I'm going to go down. I forgot to bring a pair of heavier socks, and I'm going to go down and try them on again. But they seem to be better than the other ones for me.
Something that I did learn along the way is that your feet need to be able to move. So when you wear your moon boots and stuff, make sure you have plenty of time outside of them also, moving your feet, exercising your feet, getting all those muscles and joints moving. Because if you make them stationary in any kind of tennis shoe or any kind of shoe that's hard, your joints and your muscles stop moving, and when they stop moving, they start locking up. So keep those feet moving as far as there's a lot of joints in your feet to build the strength and flexibility in. Your whole body has to do with your feet. So that was something I took away from the training I went to. Very interesting on that. That's why I was concerned, not concerned, but interested in that karate shoe, too. Is it flexible?
Excuse me?
Is a karate shoe flexible?
Oh, they're very, very flexible.
Very,
oh,
very,
yeah,
flexible because,
oh,
of,
yeah,
the work you're doing when you're...
Yeah, most of the time, I know, a lot of people don't wear them, you know, but I started having problems with my heel from the jumping and everything. And so I... You know, because we're on a hard surface. So I bought a pair a couple of years ago, but they're high top and they're very sweaty. And I'm going to be testing in January for my black belt, so I wanted to get a lighter, like a featherweight one, that will be a little bit more effective. So, anyway.
Wow, I am.
Sorry.
Well, my friend did tell me, she recommended Nike Free. They're hard to find. They're real flexible, and my neighbor across the street works for Nike, and he goes, oh, I see you're wearing Nike Free, and I go, oh, yeah, I have some Nike Free, and he said they're the best shoe made as far as regular shoes, and I said, why, and he goes, well, he's a major Nike person in the whole Bay Area here, and he said this coach of track for a college, his team was winning everything, and they were running really, really fast, and they came to him and said, what are you doing? And he said, I have my team run barefooted on the golf course. That's how they practice. They run barefoot. So then Nike made this shoe to resemble barefoot. So anyway, there's other shoes out there, too, that are really soft, and I'm not discounting the Nikon shoes at all, because I do love them too. They have their point, but your feet need to be moving. And so when you can, try to work your feet. I don't know.
Well, I know myself, I used to wear the Nikon cardio strides all the time, but then I was having problems with my knees because of the weight. So, you know, I wear them once in a while, but not as much as I used to.
Yeah, I stand all day at work, and I kept finding the best support I could find, and I was spending money for shoes, trying to find something. And I ended up getting movable shoes, and for standing all day, when I'm standing all day, the movable shoes work well for me, personally. But so did anybody else join us today?
Yes, this is Mary Lou. What do you mean by movable shoes?
I mean when you take a shoe and you hold it in your hand and you take the sole and you start flexing in it and moving it, the sole needs to be able to move. It needs to be able to move easily. So as you walk, there are so many different directions that your foot moves and comes down. Pay attention when you're walking barefoot, that your foot needs to be able to roll and do what it needs to do as you walk. If you step down like a clown, that's the kind of walk we get when we're in shoes that don't move. We start walking clownish. You know how their feet flap?
Yes.
Okay, your feet shouldn't flap when they hit the ground if your bones and all your joints are moving correctly like they're supposed to move. So if you're looking for a shoe just to wear outside of your cardio stride, look for one that is flexible and flat. Now, that goes against what the podiatrists tell you and against what I've been told many, many years. Oh, you're standing on your feet all day. You need big arches. You need an arch here and an arch here and an arch here, and this shoe is made like this. And I bought my feet soles. I bought them trying to keep my feet and legs from hurting. And when I went to this course, and they work with athletes and everything, they said, if you are moving your feet and working your feet like they're supposed to do, they don't break down and fall apart. It would be like equivalent to sitting in a chair your whole life and never moving, or being in a cast. You know how weak you are when you come out of a cast. So, she told me too, they design shoes that scoop in the center. They fall out in the middle. They're higher on the sides. She said, that's not because it's good for your feet. The shoe designers decided to do that because then your foot collapses down in the middle, so your feet look smaller. It's for aesthetics, but yet it's hard on your feet. And I said, oh, that's interesting, because the bottoms of the Nikan shoes are flat inside. They don't scoop down in the middle. And I really liked that. But I had a pair that was too small, and so my feet were, they weren't, my toes and everything weren't able to move around in the shoes.
Well, I haven't known what to do because I'm having problems with my feet bothering me, and they never had. But I did go to a podiatrist, you know, and they just kind of said that my feet were, the padding was gone. And so I've had a very difficult time trying to ride the cardio strides. And I didn't get a fit.
There are foot exercises that can be done. So...
Do what?
There are foot exercises that can be done and taught, and if you call me later, I'll give you the phone number.
Okay, would you mind?
There's a trainer in your area that can teach you
okay.
footwork.
Can you give me that number?
Yeah. Hello?
Give me that number, I said, could you?
Oh, Mary Lou, what I'll need is your number, and then I will call.
Okay, that's fine. Mine's 325.
I'll get a trainer for you.
235-2464. Did you get that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
That's another benefit of getting older. Where do we lose fat? On the bottom of our feet.
Can you believe that? I told him I didn't need it there. I needed, but I know you need from up above, down there.
You know, my heel was hurting a lot, and I've been on my feet for 25 years. 8 to 10 hours a day.
Wow.
And someone told me that, yeah, you lose fat on the bottom of your feet. But when I started talking to Kathy, she said, your heel is locked up. The heel on the back of my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you mean it's locked up? That's solid. And she goes, no, you move there. There's a joint, a huge joint right inside there that moves, and yours doesn't move. We've got to free that joint and get it to moving again. It's not moving because you've been wearing these support shoes that don't allow it to move.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are exercises that will help that joint start coming back again.
Just rotating the foot.
Yeah.
You know, 10 times each direction whenever you're sitting is a good exercise for that.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
where are your mag steps or your mag strides all that time you're on your feet, Brenda?
I have done it,
uh-huh.
But I don't anymore because
Oh, really?
It fatigues me more. Yeah.
Oh.
I've gotten more benefit for myself by letting my feet move.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start letting your feet move, it will ache a little because there's muscles and joints that haven't been moving that you will start working.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's much better.
I find...
It's amazing when you start letting your feet move, your shoulder will get better. So locking up our feet has been a big problem.
If your feet hurt, the rest of your body hurts.
The rest of your body hurts.
Yeah. I find, especially on tile floors, if I'm doing a lot of work in the kitchen standing, if I don't have my cardio strides on, I am miserable after a very short time, or at least by the time I'm finished, I can't even stand anymore. But if I have my cardios on, I can go for hours, which is amazing.
You know what I think cardios do for you in that case is they keep your feet straight.
Yeah, I'm wearing the original ones.
They talked about when they brought them in.
Right, the ergonomic design, sure.
They keep your feet straight.
They keep your whole body aligned.
Yeah, and that's real important,
sure.
Is to have your feet parallel instead of ducks or pigeons. Is to keep them, and cardio strides will adjust that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I learned in Tai Chi is if you stand with your feet hip length apart, and just rock back and forth. Don't move your body, but just rock on your legs back and forth. That's also, it gets the energy through your body moving. And it's a good thing to do if you're standing at the sink doing dishes or any place. People are doing it when they're standing in line at the grocery store. So, you know, that's a healthy thing to do for your body also.
I feel so much better, but it feels weird at first. The first time I stood with my feet parallel, hip distance apart, and stood up straight, you'll feel your hips switch position, and it feels really awkward, but the more you do it, your brain will start remembering, oh, this is how I'm supposed to be, this is how I'm supposed to be, oh, yeah, I've been messing myself up, and it feels great.
Mm-hmm. But keeping your body erect and not leaning forward, and really it's good for the knees, it lubricates from the knees up.
And it becomes, your brain will reprogram itself,
mm-hmm.
that this is how I'm supposed to be instead, mm-hmm. of the bad posture I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have to think about it anymore later. You won't have to go, wait a minute, I have to stand this way and I feel so awkward. You'll just naturally start doing it. I noticed that with the athletes, you know, before they're doing something, they're warming up, they're... A lot of the fun little doodads they're doing on the Olympics, shaking their muscles, I want to know more about that.
Mm.
All the stuff they do for a reason.
Has anyone seen anything about Shannon Miller in their watching of the Olympics? I'm not glued to the set, so I haven't seen it all. But has anyone seen her at all or the name mentioned? Okay.
Have you?
Uh-uh.
No, I haven't either.
What sports was she involved in?
Gymnastics, wasn't it?
Gymnastics?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I've watched pretty much all of that. I haven't.
Yeah, Michelle Kwan on this morning, I saw. So I just wondered.
Well, we have two athletes, one's 41 and one's 31, who have medaled, and that is an inspiration to everybody that by taking care of your body, you do not have to break down as quick. And that's another thing they say too, by keep your body moving. We accept the fact that we're supposed to get arthritis. We're supposed to stop moving. Our muscles are supposed to start going, but they're not supposed to. They're supposed to continue, but you have to keep it moving. Keep your joints moving in every direction that they're able to move. Because what we do is we, especially my husband's the biggest for this, hurt themselves and then we stop moving it. And then our brain says, oh, I can't move it. And we accept that as true.
Okay.
Right. Instead of moving it gently, not into pain, but right to the edge, and then it'll move more and more and more. But those athletes are such an inspiration, those 41 and 31-year-olds doing those. Anybody have any food items they'd like to discuss today?
Anybody make Char's recipe from yesterday?
No, did you?
I did. I'm just wondering if she eats it cold also. It was very good.
It sounded like a polenta lasagna recipe I got off of a vegetarian site a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
Only, I don't remember eggplant being in it. I think it was zucchini.
You could probably use that if you wanted.
Yeah.
Have you ever made polenta before?
Yeah. That was the first time I did it when I did that recipe, and it was very good.
Did you boil the water and then throw in the corn?
Huh?
Did you boil the water first and then throw in the cornmeal?
Yeah.
And did it lump up, or did it...
And spreaded it out and baked it, just like Char was talking about.
Because when I poured the cornmeal into the boiling water, it kind of lumped up all over the place. And I had to go back with the spoon that I was stirring it with and kind of break it up. Did yours do that, or did I do something wrong?
No, I don't think... I think I poured it slowly.
Yeah, I poured it in too fast. Okay.
I'll try to find that lasagna recipe, too, because it had a cheese with tofu.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know, the tofu lemon stuff that you mix up and you spread in between the layers it was the cheese flavor.
I just put the cheese on top. The final layer was I was using an almond cheese that I had. But I also put in whole garlic, like we talked about yesterday. When I was boiling the water, I put a whole head of garlic in there. Plus I used some garlic powder that, like the recipe calls for. But, you know, you could even add mushrooms or anything you want to it.
It sounded just delicious.
It was a go.
It was a different take on the lasagna one that I had, but the Char's, actually, I think it sounded better.
It all started because years ago, when we were on the original lifestyle, I started making eggplant parm by using spaghetti sauce on the bottom, a layer of eggplant, and a layer of cheese over that, and just layering it in the pan. And then once we couldn't eat cheese, my husband, you know, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with the eggplant. And that's how we have evolved into this kind of a recipe now. And I did buy some of the almond cheese. So that's how that all happened. And it's good with the, you know, and it would be a nice thing, although I'm not sure how you would present it. But if you had company, you know, it certainly would be something to serve. Maybe if you put it in a glass baking pan rather than a metal one like I used, it would look better on the table. But it was very good.
I have, since you were talking about cornmeal, I have found that I like just the plain basic cornmeal loaf.
Uh-huh.
And you can do, you know, you can cut it up and put it in things or anything like that.
Do you have a recipe for that, Julie?
Yeah, it's right on the package.
Okay.
And it says the recipe calls for, if you put it in a loaf pan, I think you're going to bake banana bread or something like that,
mm-hmm.
It isn't really enough that you need to double it.
Mm.
And what we have done is, of course, I don't need the honey, but I gave it to Tom with honey, and is when it's warm,
taken or made a little dish and just put a little honey on it, and it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest we put in the loaf pan, so I actually doubled the recipe. Made it for a while. It reminded me when you were talking about it in the lasagna that it's really a good loaf. And then you can add it to anything.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah, whenever I've ever boiled any of the, like the cornmeal in the water, I've always put it in cold water and then bring it to a boil.
And so it mixes easier?
Yeah.
For some reason, Char said to boil the water first.
I heard her say that.
I think it says that on the pan. I haven't made it for a while, but I seem to remember it says that right on the directions.
What, cold or hot?
Put it in boiling water.
Uh-huh. I think I just dumped it all at once, and maybe that was the problem.
You just need to stir it in.
Yeah. I did it too fast. Because all of a sudden it was boiling. I'm going to boil my water out before I'm ready to use it. So
it really makes a nice, you know, like, you know, meatloaf about that size if you double the recipe.
Uh huh.
I can see where it is, but I'm not supposed to get into my laundry room because my nephew here, I got the cornmeal.
Well, I cooked hamburger last night.
Real hamburger?
Real hamburger, because my son's been griping at me because he said there's nothing in the house to eat. It's all vegetables, and I don't like vegetables. So I made tacos, and I cooked my crumbles over here and the hamburger over here, put in a lot of onions and garlic and everything, and ate it was just... Heart hurt for me to cook the hamburger, and it surprised me the reaction I had towards it. And then my husband came home and ate the hamburger in the tacos like he used to, and his first comment was, "This is too much meat. I don't like this."
Ooh! Wow!
And I was very happy. Of course, my son never came home to eat, but he's 19. He's So I thought, forget that. The kid can just go hungry.
You know,
go ahead.
What this says on the cornmeal is you mix the cornmeal with cold water, 1 cup of cornmeal, 1 cup of cold water. Then you add it to the boiling salted water.
Oh.
And it says cover and cook over boiling water 30 minutes or medium direct heat 10 to 15 minutes. Stirring frequently. Mush should be fairly thick. Serve. That isn't the loaf, though. But that sounds like it has nothing but cornmeal is what I remembered.
Mm.
And it says you can fry the mush and refrigerate it overnight. It does say to fry. Cut cold molded mush into 1/2-inch slices.
How do you do that?
You'd have to put it into the... pan, but I would have, I thought it had on there, I got a big package of cornmeal. You made me remind me that I hadn't used it at all. And so I was looking at all the recipes on it, and it doesn't say to do what I said, you know, putting it in the pan,
mm-hmm.
in the bread pan, but this is exactly what you would need to do, because it says to fry, cut cold molded mush into 1/2-inch slices. But this says 1 cup of the mush, and then 1 cup of cold water to mix it in, and then you put it into the boiling water and cook it. It says cook it over the boiling water 30 minutes or over medium direct heat 10 to 15 minutes. Stir frequently. And then, oh, here it does. Yeah, this is what I did. I finally read it. Serve hot with milk and sugar or pour into loaf pan to set for fried mush and refrigerate overnight. So it is what I did, the 1 cup and the 1 cup of cold water and 3 cups of boiling water.
So it must.
It was really, it was, as I said, I remember I haven't made it for probably 4 or 5 months or more, but it was really good. I'm gonna keep it out so I remember to make it now.
So it must congeal after it boils.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. It congeals right away because we took 2 little bowls And because of saying about the honey, the only thing we thought we could have on here was honey, where it says milk, you know, served with hot milk and sugar. But it did say the honey. And so we just put a little bit of the honey on top of it and had two bowls of it right then. And it was already, you know, into a very much, you know, that you could, it was solidified. And putting it in the bread pan, I was trying to think of a word, putting it into the bread pan, then the rest of it just molded. But it didn't seem like it made enough for the full loaf pan. And I'd only made it the first time when I first had gotten into this. So it's been quite a while since I made it. But I remember that it didn't seem like it was enough, that the next time I made it for the loaf pan to have it, I could even freeze half of it with just the two of us, or it would be easier to cut because it would be the size of a loaf pan if we had our little bowl beforehand.
I had to keep it in the oven longer than Char had said yesterday before it completely dried out, and then it stuck to the pan in some places. But
this was really good, just putting it right in the pan and just cooking it over the hot, it says cook over boiling water 30 minutes, and I must have done that because I don't think I did it over the medium direct heat.
So over boiling water means that it's a hot pan.
Right, a double boiler. Add to boiling salted water, and then cover and cook over the boiling water 30 minutes, or over medium direct heat 10 to 15 minutes. I don't remember which I did. And it just says stir frequently, and that the mush should be fairly thick, which it was.
Yeah.
That I very much remember that it went into the pan nicely, but I felt like it wasn't, you know, deep enough after Tom and I had taken out a little bowl to have as our lunch or something and just spread a little bit of honey on top. But it was a good thing that we added it even to a salad, cut it up in little pieces and added it to the salad, and it was good.
And it was cuttable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mine was not.
Okay. Yeah, and that's just the one cup, and it's actually 4 cups of water. Because 1 cup of cold water that you start out with, and then the 3 cups of boiling water.
Yes,
but you might find that, Nancy, on your
package.
On the package, because it calls it cornmeal mush.
And it was 1 to 4. That's the ratio that she had yesterday.
Right. Is that what you had yesterday?
That's what I used on the,
So it's just a different way of cooking it then.
Let me see what it says.
1 to 4.
What kind of, mine is the, red mill.
This is just plain yellow cornmeal.
But the company that made mine is Red Mill. Bob's Red Mill.
This item, we're trying to look at this. This is mine, just Safeway.
There's a muffin recipe on here. Golden cornbread.
Look for mush. Because there's nothing else in it with the mush.
Nope, no mush. Pancakes. That's it.
I've got spoon bread, even hush puppies on mine.
Yeah.
That has chopped onions and stuff in it that we shouldn't eat.
And actually, everything has all these, the three recipes that are on here, each contain dairy and eggs. So I guess they won't be making any of those.
Yeah, every one of mine does. Even the quick tamale pie has stuff that I wouldn't have. And the only one that doesn't is the cornmeal mush.
Mm-hmm. But it's just cornmeal and water.
Right.
Okay.
Cornmeal mush, now it does, that looks interesting. It has a quick tamale pie, and it has a half a pound of ground beef in it.
Oh, my.
It'd be changed to tempeh or, you know, some of the soy stuff or something like that. It does have a tamale pie on here. Oh, it does have chili con carne in that, too.
Hmm.
Yeah, everything except the mush is legal for us.
Okay.
Well, I sent a second
back. Acid, I guess. I was thinking like gravy. When you are making gravy and you have to make thickener, you always add the flour to cold water or a lump. Or cream of wheat, pouring that into the pan, you gradually add it and stir it or it lumps.
Yeah.
So Belinda is probably, it's like the same texture. I would imagine it would be the same type of care needing to mix it up.
No, some I sort of remember it just right in.
Huh?
I sort of remembered it just as I poured it into the hot water, you just kept mixing and it, you didn't have any problem with lumps or anything.
Yeah, that's what the directions say to do, to gradually add.
Cold water first?
Add it to the water. You pour it slow and stir as you pour it.
Mm-hmm. I was too anxious.
Yeah.
But I did get it to break up and it was okay when I finally worked it in.
This is Mary Lou. May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Char asked me to email her something the other day, and it returned. Apparently, I don't, does somebody know her email off? Is it, is Denny spelled D-E-N-N-I?
Why?
No, Y. D-E-N-N-Y.
Right.
Just Char at Comcast.net, right?
Right.
Okay.
I'm sure it's Comcast. That's from memory.
Yeah.
And then the dot, whatever it is, but I know it's Denny, D-E-N-N-Y.
Okay, that's probably what I made a mistake on. And then I'm not sure if it was Net or Com. I think it was Net.
I have to turn on my computer, which would take a while to get into the address
all right.
Everything. But I do remember the D-E-N-N-Y, and I remember the Comcast, so you could try it both ways, the Net and Com.
I'm always positive it's not Net.
Well, which, if it doesn't work and you get it back, then try Char first. I'm trying to, it seems like Denny was first.
It's Denny Char at Comcast.net.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's what I remember.
It's dot net, Nancy?
I'm almost positive.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I'm trying to fatten up my husband. He got real thin from stress at work and not eating enough because he wouldn't.
Well, I'll tell you what Dr. McDougall said, and I've got it all written right here because that's what the problem I have. Whole grains, bread, and bagel. Give fruits, dried fruits, and juices. Nuts, sweets, seeds, avocados, and olives. High-fat soy milk and tofu products, high-fat soy foods, eat more food, eat a greater variety, add salt, sugar, and favorable spices, use salad dressing and barbecue and steak sauces that are made without oil and animal. This came, I wrote him a personal letter and asked him about what I should do. And one of the things that I started doing, and he has gained a little bit, is giving him with lunch and dinner. Of course, your husband would be gone at lunchtime. But anyway, with where I don't eat it, but I give him a slice of the sprouted bread with peanut butter. Just as an added thing, the peanut butter, because that's more. And I've even given him ice cream and nuts at bedtime.
Okay, so all of the higher fat, like I buy lower fat soy milk, but he says to get the full
just
fat.
Just one second.
I was wondering about the high fat soy milk. If too much fat would raise health problems.
I had to quick put on. The peanut butter is supposed to be so much, and this is, as I said, I wrote Dr. McDougall and told him that I was having trouble, and that they even said that Alzheimer's patients tend to, you know, sort of lose their appetite, and so that's why I gave him ice cream and nuts at bedtime.
Ice cream and nuts and high-fat soy milk and breads and bagels are very dense, huh?
Right, and then the nuts and seeds and avocados and olives and the dried fruits
And I've even given him orange juice or something, you know, in the afternoon or with his dinner. Because I have a horrible time getting water down him. That's the one problem that is really bad, is getting water. So I thought, okay, I'll try giving some juice or something, too, in the middle of the afternoon.
So I think the cookies that we would make...
Yeah, and I also get cookies at Trader Joe's, vegan cookies. I gave you three of those yesterday afternoon, even.
Well, I make some oatmeal cookies.
Do you? Well,
Yeah.
That's probably better than mine, but I haven't had... with him, it's been a little difficult to...
And I fill him
full of that, and he was
dried fruit.
Yeah.
So that's all the things that he said. That would be great. I'll do that. No, not very many people have that problem, but sometimes you hit the opposite with men feeding them a vegetarian meal and they end up not eating.
Yeah, well, his cholesterol went down 50 points. I mean, he's right at 150. And that's where I was so concerned that my cholesterol didn't go down. And that's when also Dr. McDougall said, somebody my age, he says, don't worry about it as long as you're eating the right food. And then the last time I went, I'm now starting to wonder if maybe there was a mistake. Mine still isn't anywhere near my husband's, but it did go down 45 points.
See, that was the problem here. It was like, okay, his cholesterol's down. But how do you fatten him up without raising the cholesterol again? So thank you for that answer. I was trying to write Dr. McDougall to tell him. I actually posted a thing on their talk asking about it because he's on a medication.
Well, Char said, and we found out by an answer, really, she said that, that he prides himself. I thought maybe his secretary or somebody like that answered his email. She said that he prides himself on answering his email himself, and he will spend time and do it. So we could tell by the answers to my two questions that he really had personally answered them. So I thought that was interesting that here, you know, he would do it.
I got an answer on the post. It's not Dr. McDougall because I didn't go under him. But because of his pain in his back, he was put on Neurontin. And it deadens his nerves. It also has awful side effects. And so the talk started getting into pain. And this guy recommended Jeffrey Levins. He's, I guess, like one of the main talkers on Facebook's website. He, guess what? He started recommending frequency current, like 10 for pain relief. And then I just noticed he mentions lots of different things. Reflexology, yoga, physical therapy, but see magnets. The joint cream works very well for my husband, and for like the fibromyalgia, that's what they try to say he has. I guess it's for the things they don't know what you have.
They usually test you, and if you have between the 11 and 18 spots, that's how they tell. So sometimes if the doctors don't know, my one doctor, I came in and I gave him the symptoms. I said, you know, I haven't really told you exactly how I... He said, you have fibromyalgia. Let me check all these spots. And I said, I know I do. That's what I figured out. But he checked the spots. And if you have 11 of the 18 spots, so if the doctor didn't check those, he might not, you know, even have it. But there's spots that you just actually press on, and, boy, you sort of jump when they press on those spots. And there's books you can look at, and they'll show you the spots.
Did they put you on a drug?
Oh, they've tried me on a lot of different things. But it is, I had 18 of the 18 spots, in fact, at the University of Irvine. They said, you have more than 18 of 18. So if it wasn't for Nican, I've had 17 surgeries. I wish I had found Nican before all of that. I don't think I would have had as many surgeries. And,
oh, wow.
But it has helped me tremendously, sleeping on the sleep pad, but not as much as some younger people that helped get them, you know, get rid of the fibromyalgia completely. I have to wear a back belt 24 hours a day. And I sometimes even use some Salonpas besides the, and put those little patches on with the CM cream even. But like I said, I'm still doing so much better than people that I hear that won't try the, you know, our products.
Now, in this eating plan that we're doing, the China Health, China Study, have you noticed a difference in how you feel since you started doing the China Study?
Not a whole lot. And I know that I should because of the, and it might be because I didn't cut down on the soy oil as much, because I had been very fortunate. I hadn't, my husband retired in 1985 and he took cooking, and so all the I haven't cooked in all those years. He has done all the cooking, so I've had to take over on it, and I've sort of been eating what he eats that I fix him, which I need to really eat less that has the soy oil in it, so I'm trying to do a little better on that. But I, truthfully, I haven't, but I feel that it's because of the damage that has been done to my body with having 17 surgeries. You know, that's a lot, and I was in automobile accidents, and yet it's amazing that I feel as well as I'm doing. If it wasn't for Nican, and of course if it wasn't for Nican, I feel his Alzheimer's would be much worse.
Is this Lee, or who?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought it was. I have a friend that was an ex-sister-in-law. She's real close. But they've not even accepted or want to think about Nican. And she has fibromyalgia and goes to doctors all the time, been in pain for years. Could I maybe ask you to call her sometime?
Yeah, it's better to have her call me, but I don't mind.
Okay, that would be best. I'll just let her call you.
I'll give you my phone number. I mean, if she has the interest enough to call...
Okay, then that's
714.
Okay.
838-3654.
Okay.
But I also, you know, the whole thing is even with me, and it has helped me tremendously, when people hear what has happened with my husband with getting off of heart medication for, you know, he'd been on for 15 years. That's what Focus on Growth did a CD on, that here... Tom has gotten off of heart medicine, hasn't been on any heart medicine for 14 years, and he'd been on it for 15 or 20 years. I'm repeating myself for some of you, but anyway, then the fact that he's had Alzheimer's for 6 years, and Dr. Mosco suggested he wear the headband, and he's better off than anybody down there when I go to the Alzheimer's Association.
Oh, you say there is a CD to help him? Because one guy told me yesterday that how many medicines the heart doctor's had him on, like 9, and he said...
Well, what's happening is that Dennis is interviewing me, and I am telling him what happened with Tom. And Tom was on heart medication for about over 15 years for an irregular heartbeat. And by sleeping on the mattress pad, it took 1 year, but he gradually got off of it, because he didn't get that way overnight, and he was on the medicine for a long time. And now he has not been on the heart medicine for actually 14 years. I think it's 13 years on the tape. I said it wrong, but it's 14 years. And then he went on the headband about 4 years ago, and I think that's what has helped him so much with the Alzheimer's.
Wow.
That's great.
What is the typical, he's had Alzheimer's for 6 years.
Uh-huh.
Is there a basic, typical time of regression with Alzheimer's?
No. In fact, that's what's so important. For people that have Alzheimer's or think they have the start of it, they need to get to the doctor and find out, because I know one woman that wouldn't take the medication because she says, oh, it costs too much. But Alzheimer's, it's like going down a hill, and you go down this hill driving in the car, and you go down it, and, you know, you hit the bottom pretty fast. But now you're on Aricept or some of the other ones, and you go down the hill, but you have your brakes on. So now you're going much slower because there is not any cure yet. And so Tom got on the Aricept 5 years ago. We figure he had it a year before he actually got diagnosed. But when anybody thinks that, you know, that they have it, and it's a completely different type of memory, it's not old age memory, it's completely different. And when somebody needs to get on it, if they think they have it, they need to go, or think, you know, a loved one has it or something, that they need to get diagnosed and get on that medication so that they're going down the hill slow. And so I know people that are on the same thing as Tom is, the different medications that he's on, but Tom's wearing the headband also. And he's doing better. I know one woman that is less, that has had it less time than Tom and has had the same medications, and he's gotten worse. That's why I feel the headband has done so much good, the energy going into his brain.
So that was very interesting that you just said that. He's feeling better. Would you consider that like a milestone, like the...
Well, he isn't feeling better. He hasn't gone down
better,
the hill.
Not worse, right?
Right. No, he isn't feeling better. He has, because he is healthy. He's gotten off the heart medication, but instead of going down that hill fast, he's going down much slower because he's taking the medication, but he's also wearing the headband. And that's where I said I know people that are taking the same medication as my husband and have had it less time than my husband, and they're getting worse faster than my husband is.
Mm-hmm.
So he just, at this point, at 6 years, he just has the short-term memory loss, and a lot of times when I say something, it's, I don't understand, and I have to explain what I'm talking about. But then otherwise, he can carry on a brilliant conversation with an engineer or with our minister or anything like that, and you'd never know that he has Alzheimer's.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate hearing about that so much and the details that you put in.
Yeah, we're on really a long time. Maybe just you and I are on the call.
Yeah.
No, I'm here. This is Rebecca, and I love testimonies. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome anytime if you have somebody that you think has Alzheimer's, because I had a woman call me from church, and just in talking, just to see how we were doing, and just in calling, she said, you know, I think I'm getting Alzheimer's, and I explained to her the difference. And she said, you don't know how much you have helped me. She says, I now know I'm not getting Alzheimer's, and I'm not worried anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is completely different than the normal old age stuff.
Now, I know we're on a long time, and if anybody else is on and doesn't want to hear about this, I would like to say goodbye to you. But first, I would like to ask you, if briefly, real briefly, you can just tell me what the difference might be.
Oh.
In how
well, they get more forgetful. They don't know your name. I mean, I have to tell people, I have to tell them, people, he recognizes them, but he isn't sure of the name. But they get much worse than that. They don't know you. Whoever's taking care of them. They don't know who you are. Then it actually gets worse that they go back to being like a baby and are in diapers. And they just don't know anybody at all who they are.
Yeah, I was thinking about just the beginning. So
well, the beginning is all just
not
short
knowing dates. It's,
yeah,
it's
the difference
knowing them.
Yeah, the difference there is like, say, the heater, that you turn one way for the air conditioning and one way for the heat. Here, I mean, one way for the heat. He doesn't remember. He's been doing that for 50 years, but he doesn't remember which way is the heat or the television remote control. He can't retain what way that works. And yet, we were talking, and he was carrying on a brilliant conversation with the doctor about his new equipment and everything, and the day before he had asked me, what is lasagna?
Oh.
So that's sort of the difference in the short, in the memory loss. That's
Brenda?
The short-term memory loss.
Brenda?
Yes.
It's like knowing what your car keys, that you have car keys and that they're for your car, and not knowing that it's a key or what it's for.
Or where it goes.
Okay.
Where it goes
yeah.
for. Like I asked him, I can remember a while back, to put something in the glove compartment, and he didn't know what the glove compartment was. And yet, like I said, I don't have the problem. Some of them can't leave their, you know, loved one. They can't leave the patient, I guess you call it, because I'm the caregiver. They can't leave him alone. I can leave Tom alone. I have absolutely no problem at all. That my main problem is his eyes and getting the eye drops in four times a day. So I watch that. But yesterday I was down at Nican for 4 hours. So, I mean, I have no problems. And yet they will wander. And one person told me about somebody in Montana that was out, that started, was wandering, and they were in bare feet. And, of course, they froze their feet and everything. They wander, and they don't know where, you know, where they are.
I think it's important to remember that each case is individual.
Different. That's right. And that each case, you're absolutely right, Nancy. Each case is different, but it is, from what I've seen and listening to these caregivers, because I'm in so much better shape from listening to them, they have so many different, you know, problems.
Mm-hmm.
And like even the sun going down at night, they call it sundowners.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife doesn't know her husband. She's calling the police.
And
it happens when the sun goes down.
Because, and they think that when they're supposed to be sleeping is when they're really supposed to be up, and that's major because they don't want to sleep at night.
Right. But it is a lot of, you know, different things that happens to them.
It's multifaceted and it is progressive.
Okay, well, I guess I've talked
Thank
enough.
You.
It's past 8 o'clock, so anytime anybody, you know, wants to call me, be sure to call me. I don't mind at all.
Well, I appreciate your information because I know some people with husbands who have Alzheimer's and I was curious as to
it may, you know,
what
another thing to remember is that all dementia is not Alzheimer's. There are other dementias.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that everybody has thrown it into Alzheimer's today, and that's not necessarily true.
And it's even important with the dementia that they drink water and, like, be on the nutrition. And our doctors said, and also to walk around the block. Those are so important, and as I said, I have a problem with Tom and water. But if you do want to get the water, you know, like I said, that's really important for any of them, and also, you know, being on our nutritionals, I think, is extremely important.
I think
our doctor knows all of this, and our doctor also knows, I told him, we became vegans.
I think,
and he said, that's great.
I think the brain is 70 to 80% water, so you definitely need to be hydrated.
Yeah, I think Tom would be even better if he drank more water.
If Alzheimer's is a plaque that's in the brain,
mm-hmm.
do you feel that becoming vegan may help to decrease the plaque? Or is that stretching it?
I don't know. I sort of feel like it might. I don't know. What do you think, Nancy? I sort of think it could, but I think wearing the headband, he wears that all day long. Wearing that headband, you know, it's putting energy in there, in his brain. I think that really, that's just, you know, a personal opinion. Our neurologist knows he's wearing the headband, and then there was something else I told him that we were doing, I've forgotten. And then I said, oh yes, we've become vegans, and he said, that's great.
If you're feeding the body more healthily, it's going to affect the entire body.
Right, and I know there's a section in the China study regarding Alzheimer's, that it does help.
Right. Right, and there also on that tape it says dementia.
Well, this has been a very inspiring discussion. Thank you.
I think it helps when somebody gives the testimonials and they've been right there. So thank you ever so much, Lee, even though it could take longer.
As I said, I'll be 75 next week, so.
Doing great.
I don't know. Tom's 87, and I thought, I've got two things. At least he does sleep a lot. That's one thing that the Alzheimer's people do. They do sleep a lot. But he's got two things going against him on the sleep. He just went back to bed. Of course, here it's, you know, 8 o'clock. But the sleep, he's got the age being 87, then plus Alzheimer's, so he is tired. He can't do very much, and then he gets tired. But that's also something that happens with Alzheimer's patients. But, of course, like I said, he's got the two things going for him, the Alzheimer's plus the age. And I think, Nancy, was it your daughter-in-law or something that said, well, what does she expect? He's 87 years old.
Maybe my geriatric social worker.
Right. So he's got two things working against him.
He's not ready for the marathon anymore.
No. No, he can do very little around the house and where he used to do a lot, and then he's tired.
Lee,
yes.
What you did 10 years ago?
What?
Can you do what you did 10 years ago?
Well, I wasn't in that great shape 10 years ago, but no, I'm sure I can't, but I am doing, you know, I'm still doing a lot. I was at Nican 4 hours yesterday, and when I got home, I was tired.
Okay.
That's
inspiring.
But remember, everybody, this did get out, so it isn't something I'm telling, but if you get anybody to buy the pack Saturday with the rhythm of the business, a new distributor, and they're buying the pack, they get the air traveler free. So that's really something. I had a new distributor that was buying the pack, and fortunately I heard about that, and before she even had the pack in, we quit it. So that Saturday, for the rhythm of the business, anybody who, you know, signs up and buys the pack, this got out through President's Club, it wasn't supposed to be, but also gets an air traveler free. So I don't know if I'm speaking out of that I shouldn't be telling it.
I had an email on it.
Oh, that came down.
Did it? Yeah, okay. I haven't looked at my email for a couple of days. But, yeah, it wasn't supposed to, but anyway, it did get out. So, anyway, we stopped her from buying the pack.
This is Darlene. I was wanting to mention about the fibromyalgia. Dr. Pedersen, whatever he was with Nican. He had came up to Reading, and he had gave a talk, and he mentioned that his wife had the fibromyalgia very bad, and he said that she was fine as long as she, you know, when she was on the nutritionals and all that, but he said she was fine unless she got some sugar. He said the sugar put her into a tailspin.
Wow.
Wow.
So as long as keep her good and off the sugar, he said she was fine, but he said sugar would do it.
What a strong statement that one is.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Wow,
yeah.
That's something to start watching for.
Mm-hmm. How many people do we know who say they have fibro and you wonder what they're eating? Well, we know what some of them are eating, isn't it?
Yeah,
there?
And so many, you know, and the other thing is a lot of people, they say they have fibromyalgia and they really don't. I have found that just through experience of listening and talking to people and all.
We're way long.
Yeah, but that's the longest I've ever been on a call. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you very much. So I'll just end it now.
We'll start it tomorrow.
Get on with the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.